If you're working harder than everyone else in your business and your income, your freedom, and your life hasn't caught up to your expectations, this one is for you. The business coach said to me, I've never forgotten it, really been the sort of foundation of everything. He said, if you keep behaving like a stylist, Larissa, you'll never grow your business. Most salon owners get stuck in a 9-to-5, or probably a 9-to-8 if you think about late nights. You know, 6 days a week. I spoke to someone on a call the other day who's working 6.5 days a week. She's doing all of the things. And it's because nobody is telling you that there's a choice you need to make. I was the best stylist in my salon in the early days, in any case, fully booked. I made the most revenue, taking home the least. And honestly, my biggest frustration wasn't actually the money. It was my team. And I couldn't understand why no one worked as hard as I did, why no one cared as much as me, why no one showed up the way that I showed up. I was the standard. I was my expectation. And for a long time, nobody could meet that. And what I didn't know or didn't understand yet in those days is that I actually was the problem, hard pill to swallow. Welcome back to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm Larissa, if we haven't met each other. Today, I want to share something with you that I've never quite shared in this way before. It's my founder's story. This is the episode, my story, but I'm not telling you so you can get to know me. I'm telling you because I see you in my story. And if you're working harder than everyone else in your business and your income, your freedom, and your life hasn't caught up to your expectations, this one is for you. Now, when I started out as an apprentice, probably like most of you. My first job was a dentist, and it was next door to the salon that I got my apprenticeship at. My mum wouldn't let me leave school until I had a job, and the dentist job was the first one that I could get. I was a chairside assistant. It was a good one, actually. It had taught me a lot of discipline about working. And I did what every apprentice did when she gets a job. I put my head down. I learned the craft. I got good at what I did, and I got good fast. So that was good. I got qualified. And within those first 6 months of being qualified, I ended up being the longest standing stylist in that salon. Now, when I arrived, it was a thriving salon, 17 members, all working through their apprenticeship, and I was like the new baby in town. You know what it's like. But 6 months out of my apprenticeship, I was the longest standing. I was the most experienced. And on hindsight, I can see that she had a bit of a walkout. Not that I saw it that way at the time, but it was. And I was earning the most. And at the time, I didn't think too much of it. I was just doing the work. And then one day, one of the girls that had left to have a baby, she came back to visit, and we were catching up, and she mentioned that almost casually, quite casually, that she was thinking about buying or opening a salon. And that was it. That was the seed. That was the moment, right? I hadn't known that opening a salon or buying a salon was an option. Like, it just wasn't in my world. And what? I could buy one. I could start one. It hadn't actually occurred to me till that moment. And once it did, I guess I just couldn't unthink it, because I didn't get the job that I wanted. I did get the job that I didn't want, but I could see that they didn't know what customer service was, so I didn't really want to work there. And I was 20 years old, and as I was driving down the road, there was a vacant salon at the intersection in Wellington. It was a big brand, one that I had aspired to be like in some way. I wanted to be in an environment that did great customer service and was really fashion forward. And in Wellington, I felt like at the time, there was nothing that did neither, there was no brand that did both. Couldn't we just be great at customer service and do an amazing experience and be really fashion forward and cutting edge? In any case, there was a brand that I admired for one reason or another that moved out of the location. There I was sitting at the lights, and despite just feeling like a little girl at the time, 6 months out of my apprenticeship, in comparison to the brand that used to be in that location, they'd moved into town because they were growing. And I remember sitting at the traffic lights thinking, oh, maybe I could just open my own. So I called my dad, said, hey, Dad, take me out for dinner, because that's what you do when you're 20. Take me out for dinner, Dad. We had dinner. We talked it through. And then straight after dinner, we went back to his office and he opened up a spreadsheet. I pulled up a chair. We worked on that spreadsheet to see if it could work until 11 o'clock that night. And outside of that conversation, I had no business training. I had no roadmap, no guarantee. I was just a 20-year-old girl talking to her dad and looking at a spreadsheet that said, oh, well, this could work. And 6 weeks to that night, I was open. And it was really good because there was no time to second guess or wonder if I was doing the right thing. I just took massive action out of ignorance, I think. But the salon grew. I grew with it. And after a while, I was the busiest column. Well, I guess I started it, so I was the busiest column. I had the most clients. I turned over the most revenue. I'd had my first apprentice. My first senior had come and gone. And the team grew to 5, but I was still taking home the least pay. And I guess, you know, because success has its way of compounding a problem, I had this moment where a great girl had applied for a job to come and work with me. She really wanted to work with me. The things that we were doing in the business, the kind of ideas and whatever, for whatever reason, she was really attracted to working with me. But she said, I want to work with you, but I don't want to work where your salon is. I don't want to work in the suburbs. She was in the city. She wanted to work in the city. And so I started to think about a second salon, as you do. But what it would cost me to have her was actually double what I was currently paying myself. And so not only was I considering building or opening a second salon around an available team member, I was paying myself less than what she was already earning. And until that moment, I wasn't really running a business. I was playing shop and I was employed. I was just employed. That happened to be by myself. I was the most expensive, hardworking team member in my salon and I was paid the least. So my sister, who was working with me in the business at the time, she was running front desk because I could serve the clients and she could run the payroll and the stock and front of house and all of those things. And we had this opportunity to fly to Australia to this 3-day business conference. I thought that would be a good thing to do. Of course it was. And my sister, who now 20 years, maybe even more later, now works with me at the Salon Owners Collective again, but we were together for the first time then. And it was at that conference that we went to in Australia. Like in those days, I was, you know, 22, 23. It was a pretty big deal for business, fly to another country, take my sister with me. And the business coach said to me, I've never forgotten it, really been the sort of foundation of everything. He said, if you keep behaving like a stylist, Larissa, you'll never grow your business. And then he proceeded to offer to break my arms on purpose. And the idea was that I would go home with 2 broken arms and casts and I would have no choice but to stop serving the clients. We all laughed, but that idea, that premise really stayed with me for quite a long time. But at that time, I wasn't ready. I couldn't see or couldn't imagine what he was saying to me and the leap that he was describing. Like it was just too big for me at the time. So I didn't leap, but I did take one day off the floor. Actually, it started with 3 hours and I built it up to be 3 days. Went from 3 hours to 1 day off the floor. And as the business grew, like not slowly, but quickly, because I took that day and I reinvested it into my team, into training, into workshops, into, you know, working on the business instead of in it, bringing clients into the business. And it worked. So I took another day off the business and the business grew again. And each time I took a day off the floor, just one day, the growth was exponential because I was buying back my time and reinvesting it into the things that actually multiplied my time. And that's my people. Like the math makes sense. I could spend an hour behind the chair and I could earn $197, let's say, or I could spend that same hour mentoring 5 of my team, teaching them what I knew so they could go and earn $195 because probably at that time they were earning $100 and I was doing $195. And if I could teach them some skills, they could go and all earn $195 each per hour. And running that session, working through techniques, communication, consultations that each go out and earn or like 20%, 100% increase on their productive time. So not $197 an hour. I worked out that my hour was worth $850. Actually, I did a podcast on this topic not that long ago. I'll find the link to that episode and I'll put it in the show notes and then you can have a listen to that. And that $850 came from, like, I didn't touch a single head of hair. And so that's when the talent development engine was born. It wasn't named that at the time. I've subsequently renamed it for Salon Mastery, but not as a concept, but as a lived realization. Like, I lived through that. And then I realized I could teach my managers to do the same. So later, further down the track, when we were a big team, I count myself five of us on the management team. And if each one of them took the time off the floor to mentor their subsequent teams, then I could replicate that result again and again. So the coach wasn't wrong, and they didn't need to break my arms, and luckily he didn't, but I did need to build proof of concept. Like, I did need to live through that one day at a time so I could really see that that was true. And really it was then that was a decision for me that I decided to go pro. Like, each time I took a day off the floor, it was me deciding to go pro, go all in on business. And now I call it not go pro, but go CEO. And that go CEO, like, you know, it sounds fun, but it's not something that happens when your revenue hits a number, then you decide to go CEO. Like, you don't get the result and then become the person. It's not automatic when you hire a manager. It's not automatic when you hit a milestone. Actually, it's the other way around. It's a decision, the conscious and deliberate decision to go pro, to turn into a CEO. So we're going to call it go CEO. Like, you make the decision first and then you get the result. You don't get the result and then become. And this is really the reason that most salon owners, like, they don't make it. Most salon owners get stuck in a 9 to 5, well, probably a 9 to 8 if you think about late nights. You know, 6 days a week. I spoke to someone on a call the other day who's working 6.5 days a week. She's doing all of the things. And it's because nobody is telling you that there's a choice you need to make. And that's why I'm telling you today, there's a choice you need to make. You can't drift into being a CEO, salon CEO. You have to decide. And so growing a business isn't a straight line. It's a staircase or a squiggly line. But I like the analogy of a staircase because first you go up. So like, I started my salon, it was just me, and then I got a team member and the money went up. And then I got 2 more team members and the money went up and then we broke. Right? Do you know what I mean by that broke? Like, suddenly I was on the floor and I had a team to manage and I had to manage their complaints and all of those things. And so we broke. The systems that I'd run when it was just me and an apprentice, they didn't work when it was me and 5. So I had to put some systems in place that meant that I could cope with 5 team members and being on the floor. Actually, being on the floor 5 days of the week wasn't the answer. I had to pull back a little bit. And so I had to change the way I was doing business so we could get back into momentum and back into growth trajectory. Does that make sense? So when you go flat or you break, and rightly so after you grow, you need to do some new things. Like, you need to fix the things that broke. You need to change some systems and processes. Maybe you need to install some new strategies, or you need to fix some old strategies, or you just need to pick out some stuff that you used to do and you don't do it anymore. Like, oh, we used to do that thing that time. I wonder what ever happened to that. Maybe the team needs recalibrating. Maybe you need more team members. You don't have the infrastructure to support the stylist and the therapist, beauty therapist that you have now. And what worked at the last level, the last stage of business, just doesn't work at this stage. So you have to change up a gear before you can move forward. So I call it new level, new devil. Makes sense, right? And then when you've implemented those things and you've fixed all of the problems and you've found some new growth strategies and you've put some of the foundational stuff back in place, like the foundations at the manager level, like, they break before you get to the leader level. You have to solve those problems before you can become the leader. So you have to rise to the leader level to then move forward, right? Otherwise, you're just going to go flat, you hit a growth ceiling and you're scratching your head wondering why nothing's changed. So that's the call. You need to change a system or a process or install something new to become something new. And so when that flat job is done, which is the fixing and the processing and the new strategies, you get growth again. Like you get a new team member and you've solved the problem of how to attract new clients. So when the new team member comes, they're fully booked straight away and they cover their costs in 6 weeks and they double their costs in 12 weeks and they're three times their cost after 18 weeks and you're golden because you've solved that problem and then the money goes up again. And so only if you're willing to let go of something, the old way of doing things, will you make room for the thing that is new. And so I had to let go of the identity of being a 5 day a week or even a 6 day a week stylist. So I had to let go of that to make room for becoming a business owner. And it's only when I let go of my identity of being a stylist, or for you as a therapist, beauty therapist, your beautician, will you make room for being a salon CEO and stepping into business ownership? It starts with the decision. And sometimes the roadblock to making that decision is actually not being willing or feeling ready to let go. And so that's how it went from me and an apprentice to two salons.
Hey, it's me again. I just wanted to interrupt and jump in here quickly to say thanks for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate you being here. Just one question though, if you are listening to this episode and thinking, oh my God, this is me, but I'm just not sure what to do. Well, don't worry. I've got some strategies for you. The Salon Mastery Program will help you develop and implement 100K team, 100K mindset, strategies and steps designed to help you lead your team to enjoy 100K careers and install the 100K mindset and motivation so you can help build that inside of your team. The systems, the processes to master the 100K day so you can build the $1 million salon. So I want to invite you to join me for a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll discuss your business, your role in the business. Let's see if I'm the right person to help you grow your business and your team. Together, we can reach the $1 million mark. All you need to do is click the apply now button in the show notes of this very episode. You're welcome to book a time, a strategy call. We'll have a chat. All right, that's enough for me. Let's get back to the episode.
So that's how I went from me and an apprentice to two salons, 10 in each salon, and then again to change, like we broke at two salons, 10 in each salon, I broke. What worked when I had me and an apprentice didn't work when it was me and five. And then when it was me and 10 in the team, and then I decided to go, actually, no, I went me, five in the team, two salons, five in each salon, and then both salons grew to 10. Like, what the heck? And then I wondered why I was stressed out and systems and processes broke. I tell you what the system and process that broke is I broke. I had two managers, two cultures. I was driving backwards and forwards, two sets of clientele, and I was just doing all of the things. It was not good, and I broke. And so a hard decision needed to be made, and instead of holding on to ego, I have an identity that I'm a two salon owner. I actually decided that the city salon was the easier to get staff, more driven team members, and I moved all of the team that were in the suburb salon and we moved into one mega location in the city, one mega salon. And we had 30 eventually in that team operating out of one location, completely optimized, full management team. And I was completely free then to work in and on the business. Like I only worked in the business 15 hours of the week. I had two young babies. I started another business, but you know, let's not go into that right now. I didn't just arrive there. Like I moved up through the different stages and phases of business. And during that growth journey, like I changed. I had to grow. Like I didn't open my business at 20 knowing how to be or feeling ready to run the business that I eventually ran. I didn't even have the vision that I would get there, that it was possible. Like I'd only just worked out that I might even open a salon. And so there are four growth stages that one must go through to go from zero to hero or from fully booked stylist or therapist to $1 million salon owner. And I arrived or lived through that ascending staircase, the growth, we now call it the growth roadmap. Like there is a roadmap to growth and I've been through that roadmap twice, once with my salon, and then again from scratch building Salon Owners Collective. And so there is a path that is inevitable, or it's always reoccurring and shows up no matter what business that you're in, whether it's a salon, whether it's an online business like Salon Owners Collective or any other business. Like, there are some fundamentals that are true, and then there are some fundamentals that are true to hair and beauty salons. And when I worked at Timely, so after I sold my salon, I worked for two salon software companies. Well, I actually worked with Shortcuts while I had my salon. But in any case, for a time I worked with Timely Salon Software. And during that time, I was business development manager there, and I had the front row seat to see what was happening in the industry. And what I saw broke my heart just a little bit, because I saw so many salons struggling, struggling to pay themselves like I did for those first early years, and people having team problems, people couldn't recruit, can't employ, don't know what to pay them, don't know how to develop them, good people leave just as they finally get good. All of those problems that I'd been through, like, I learned the lessons the hard way. You know, I'd paid the price. And what I realized while I was working in at Timely was that I knew how to help, you know. It wasn't an option anymore. Like, I felt a duty, a calling to help the industry more than just get the right software. So I left. Like, I loved Timely. I thought I'd be there forever. But I found myself three salon owners that I started coaching, and I had the confidence then to leave my day job. But actually what happened is that staircase started again. It was just me coaching a couple of salon owners, and then I got a couple of more salon owners, and so then I got a team member, and then I got two team members, and then I got a program coordinator to help me, because I had, you know, 12 owners now. And the staircase, the growth roadmap, kind of started again. I thought, oh, I've been here before. Like, you go up, the money goes up, and then things aren't working anymore. It gets a bit messy. So I needed a team member to do some of the things for me. And so we went up again, and then I got stuck, and revenue was flat, and I was over busy and a bit stressed. So I got another team member, and then I optimized some systems and programs, and eventually Salon Mastery was born, because at the beginning I just coached people. They asked me some questions and I helped. And then I realized they were the same questions. And then I realized a pattern that they were asking the same questions based on the size of the business. I thought, oh, hang on a minute, I've been through these stages. So, you know, new level, new devil, same roadmap. And it was then that I realized that the Salon Mastery, what I call now the Salon Mastery Roadmap, the $1 million game plan, there's a pattern here. And so now we here at Salon Owners Collective, we're a team of 11, I think actually we've just gone 12, and we work with over 120 salon owners all around the world. And we have the $1 million growth plan, not only for me to use for my own business, but Salon Mastery. Also, we run that through with Salon Mastery. And of course, now we hit a roadblock. And the roadblock was that we had too many tools and strategies that we were throwing at salon owners. And I was like, this is not good. You come into sellers a few years back, just before COVID, you come into Salon Mastery, and we've got like 12 different tools that you need to use to operate your salon better. I thought, oh, this is not good. And so I'd taken all the tools that I'd used out of my salon and taken 20 years to work out how to use it, and was now giving it to salon owners. But then salon owners were having a hard time dealing with, you know, 12 different tools. And so I've got to do this better. You know, new roadblock, new problem, solve the problem. And this is when my salon CEO was born, which is the operating system that runs your team, runs your finances. This is where we've now put the talent development engine. My next pay rise lives in there. The salon playbooks that hold your systems and processes so they're seamless, they stay alive, your team use them, they're not locked in a drawer on a piece of paper somewhere that nobody looks at. But, you know, what's relevant between running a salon and even running Salon Owners Collective, same stages, same pattern, different business, different devil at every level. And that's how it's all come together. Not because I read about business stages in a book, but because I lived through them and I'm living through them again. And so I wanted to make sure that you didn't have to figure them out alone, same way that I did, because it took me a long time to work it out. and I want to make it faster for you. So I think that's kind of my message for today, because it's, you know, there's enough to sit with. So if you're fully booked, working harder than anyone else in, you know, in the salon, and your business hasn't caught up with your goals and dreams and aspirations, it's not because you're not capable. You're just still working hard, probably on the wrong thing at the wrong stage of business that you're at. And so my invitation to you is to go CEO. Like, to go CEO is a decision that's waiting for you to make. It doesn't require you to have it all figured out. I've done a lot of that for you. And it doesn't require a massive leap. It just requires a little bit of time out of what you're doing right now. Like, I suggest to start with 3 hours, and then we just build a little bit at a time. And then the math does the rest, right? Buy back your time and get leverage out of the time that you're investing. Like, just being busier and working harder isn't the answer. So next week, I'm going to tell you what happens after you make that decision, because the first part is make the decision to go pro, make the decision to go CEO. Like, honestly, that's the easy part. You just have to want it. And what comes next is letting go of some of the things that you're in right now and building the systems that create a business that run without you, you know, without you needing to be there every moment, because that's why salons and salon owners stall, if I'm honest. And I don't want that to be you. So before you go, I want to invite you to do one thing, and that is watch and walk through the $1 million growth plan. Like, it's a free walkthrough. I've created it for you because it maps out the exact stages and phases that every salon goes through. I've been through them a couple of times. And it shows you first what stage you are right now and what challenges are coming, like what to expect next and where to put your focus and your energy, so that it's not wasted. Because if you're just watching the latest thing on Instagram and decide to do that at random, then you're probably doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. And most salon owners are doing the wrong things at the wrong time, like I did that. It's like throwing spaghetti at the wall and wondering why nothing sticks. So the growth plan gives you the map, and it allows you to, you know, assess yourself against that. So I'm going to put the link to that in the show notes of this episode. So go and watch it, do the assessment, find out where you are, because there is a path and it does exist. You just need to know where you are on it and what to do next. Every level is going to cost you something. The first thing it costs you is who you thought that you were, or who you think you are now, because to get to where you need to be, something needs to change. So go CEO one day at a time. I look forward to checking in with you same time, same place next week on the podcast. So too. All right. Ciao for now.